Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Oh, it's not an ordinary world. With all deference to Duran Duran, it's a troubled world, especially this year between the pandemic, the racial inequity, George Floyd, what happened in Minneapolis and across the world earlier this year, a racial reckoning that has been long coming and long overdue. And I couldn't help but notice last night the expression excited delirium came up on CBS in a story that focused on the use of ketamine. And sometimes what they allege is unusual behavior, extreme strength after somebody is injected with ketamine in an attempt to sedate them. And so I have questions, a lot of questions. Joining us right now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is Jess Pallion at the University of St. Thomas, a law school student, part of a group looking into excited delirium and the use of ketamine. Jess, welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul, it's nice to be here.
Well, thank you for joining us. And I suspect that many of our listeners will be as confused as I have been about the term excited delirium. Is that a real thing?
Yeah, excited delirium is something that has a lot of people confused. It had me confused as recently as September. What it is, it's sort of a poorly defined condition, but the more consistent symptoms are the ones that you've already listed, things like confusion and hyperaggression and purported superhuman strength and sudden unexplained death. The thing is, it's not an accepted diagnosis by the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, or the World Health Organization, so you're not going to find anywhere that it's actually officially listed as a disease or disorder. The only places that do really accept it that we know of in America, or some of the only ones, are the Journal of Forensic Pathology and the American College of Emergency Physicians. So you see there's the split in the healthcare community, and it's sort of down to the people who respond to emergencies and the people who deal directly with law enforcement. They tend to believe in it as a diagnosis, but the general medical community, at the very least, without outright condemning it, they have not recognized it.
Interesting. So maybe we're still too early in the process. Did you see the 60 Minutes piece? What was your reaction to that?
I did see the 60 Minutes piece, and our project over at St. Thomas, the Community Justice Project, we've been looking into ketamine use in Minneapolis for a couple of years now, and that 60 Minutes piece really hit the nail on the head with everything we've been seeing and the patterns that we've seen emerge. We were almost panicking about it because we thought they'd stolen our scoop. And then we realized this is a nationally syndicated program, something that is actually getting this message out to everybody. And that's only a good thing because I don't think enough people know about excited delirium. I don't think enough people know about really the epidemic of ketamine overuse that we have in our law enforcement and emergency response communities.
Jess, based on your research, and again, I'm a data guy, and, you know, what does the science show? What is the evidence? But based on your experience, what you know today about ketamine, should police officers be administering ketamine?
A police officer, in general, does not have any medical training beyond first aid. There are exceptions, but that's the general rule. And so, no, police officers should not have any say in whether or not ketamine, which is a powerful, fast-acting sedative with a high chance of complications, that should never be, the decision to administer it should never be made by anyone besides qualified medical professionals. They're the only, it's just like any other drug. You wouldn't have a police officer prescribe you other medications. They should not be prescribing sedatives either.
Which leads me to my next question. When ketamine is used to try to quell a disturbance, de-escalate a violent situation, my assumption was that it was medical personnel on the scene who were administering these doses of ketamine. Am I mistaken? Are police officers routinely administering ketamine?
You are not mistaken. It is always, or at least in all the cases we found, it's emergency medical technicians administering
right.
it. However, the Office of Police Conduct Review in Minnesota has found at least 8 discrete cases of police officers directly participating in the decision to administer ketamine and pressuring paramedics into administering it. So what you see is that while police aren't actually pressing the syringe in, they often have an undue influence over whether or not ketamine is used.
Wow. Well, we want to keep this conversation going. Thank you for the research you and your team are doing at St. Thomas. And when you have more data, more to report, certainly reach out, Jess, and keep us in the loop, okay?
Thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you. And I certainly want to reach out to MPD and Sheriff Hutch and see if they can provide more disclosure, transparency on what's going on in terms of ketamine use. When we come back, it's the holidays. It's going to be, a Hanukkah, a Christmas unlike any living person has ever witnessed. But the holidays go on. And I'm always looking forward to Mondays because Dr. Lori Watson always has some great suggestions. Coming up, the 5 love languages at Christmas next. Can you talk about it, DJ? Would that be awkward?
Sure, I'll talk about it. Sometimes, sometimes sitting in this chair, not everything works the way you want it to work. And let's just say today's one of those days. There's a few things not going perfect here today, and that's one of them.
That's okay.
Somewhere, CBS is doing something, but we don't have it.
Listeners are relieved that we don't work at a nuclear power plant. You know, you got that going for you, right? But one of the things we're doing before we get to Lori Watson is the tunes, the Christmas tunes that have been banned over the years. And do we have the next one, The Fairy Tale of New York by the Pogues?
You promised me Broadway was waiting for me. You were handsome.
You were pretty queen of New York City. When the band finished playing, they held out for more.
Sinatra was swinging, all the jokes they were singing.
Wow, okay, yeah. That one probably should have been banned. Kind of a fairy tale gone bad. The singers go on to hurl insults at each other. And they somehow managed to insert the word maggot into a Christmas song. Maggot. In 2007, the BBC censored the song by replacing the offending word with haggard instead of maggot. But any way you look at it, that's just a bad Christmas tune. So we won't play that again. What we will play again every Monday at 4:20 is the one and only Dr. Lori Watson. She joins us on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline. Dr. Watson is a fully licensed psychotherapist, and you can call, you can find her podcast at 4Play Radio with both sexual and also relational topics. Dr. Watson, welcome back.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays and happy Hanukkah. We're in Hanukkah right now. Merry Christmas to everybody out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We're so glad to have you on. I don't know if you heard about the brouhaha with the Wall Street Journal, the editorial that, you know, only medical doctors should call themselves doctors. You earned your PhD. I think anybody who gets a PhD should be able to call themselves a doctor. Do you have an opinion?
That is right, and I appreciated you calling me Dr. Watson today. I was thinking of that as you said it.
I just really, really, you have to lob these hand grenades. So talk to us about the five love languages at Christmas and give us some creative ideas for ways that we can honor our honeys here in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Well, you know, Christmas and the holidays, you know, are often commercialized and stressful and busy. And I wanted to find a way to help people make some meaning out of it. And The Five Love Languages is by Gary Chapman. It's a book very, very popular about, you know, the different ways people give and receive love and what their primary love language is. And for some of us, the primary love language might be time together, might be gifts, acts of service, words of appreciation, or physical touch and sexual touch. And so I thought I'd have a few ideas in each category.
Okay.
My husband and I saw a really good romantic Christmas movie last night. We were in bed together watching this. It was really cozy, and we watched something called The Family Stone. And it was really good. It showed, you know, this couple who was definitely not meant to be together, and then they ended up with partners who were secure partners, and we could see the way that, you know, they relaxed and changed and became more relational. It was a lovely story. Love Actually is a Christmas movie, which is one of my favorites, and I could recommend that. And Holiday, my kids said, watch this one, Mom, and it's really screaming funny. Kind of silly, but, you know, if you're in the mood and you just want to cozy up with your honey, that's a good one to watch, too.
Okay. Great.
And
good
suggestions. And I think, you know, more than electronics, there are other ways to spend time together, just talking. I bought these cards. They're called hygge cards. And hygge is a Swedish term for being cozy together in casual, light, warm ways. And it's a Swedish word. And so, you know, they have these questions, just conversation starters. And, you know, we've been doing that as a family. And I think sometimes being together without maybe an agenda, taking a walk. I love the idea of somebody scouting out some mistletoe ahead of time and then taking a walk together and finding at the end of it, you know, the mistletoe with the great kiss under real mistletoe.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that almost sounds too good to be true.
Well, I live in North Carolina, and we have mistletoe everywhere. It's so fun. Yeah.
Huh. Where can we find mistletoe?
In the trees. We must have. It's a fungus or something, and so you just cut it down, and
wait,
it's everywhere.
You kiss under the fungus?
You kiss. Do not ruin this for me, Paul. It's romantic.
I'm messing up your flow. Okay, all right.
This is
hey, it's 2020.
The humbug part of you, huh?
It's been a fungus kind of year. What other ideas, thoughtful gifts that don't cost a lot of money, right? I mean, it's really attention. You're giving your spouse attention.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, I think that sometimes just maybe words from the heart, a poem. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be a poet. You can just put that effort in and, or some sort of special date that you plan. Maybe it's a stay-at-home date. You know, you are watching a concert on TV and having wine and lighting the fire, or maybe something like, I always think three perfect pairs is such a romantic gift. You know, the Partridge in a Pear Tree song, and it's something so Christmassy about pears. I think that's something lovely. Or maybe you make each other your favorite meal, or you cook together. I mean, it really doesn't have to cost anything to be thoughtful. It does cost us mental energy, and that sometimes is, you know, goes the furthest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, all of us are wrapped pretty tight during the holidays, right? We don't want to disappoint our loved ones. We've all got a list. We're checking it twice. In many cases, sex can be the farthest thing from our minds. But what advice would you have there?
Oh, you know, if sex is not a big area of conflict, I think, you know, you got to give each other something sexy. It's like wear lingerie. I did on my podcast this really fun episode about sexual variety, and we talked about everything. And I have had over 250 people write me for the list. So if you want this, you can still write me. You can find me on 4Play Radio. But one of my girlfriends is Jewish, and she said, oh, you know, my husband listened to your episode, and he was talking about the list. And she kind of hinted that she might like it. And so I sent it to her, and she said, well, I'm putting it in an envelope for 8 nights of Hanukkah. We're going to try one of these things during the 8 nights. And I said, wow, what a lit up Hanukkah that will be. So,
yikes.
Yeah, so, you know, you can make it fun, make it sexy. I often encourage people, make love underneath, you know, or just by the Christmas tree lights after the kids are gone to bed, or if your kids are out of the house, that can be really romantic.
See, if I get my wife lingerie, she's going to look at me and go, you got that for you. You didn't get that for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, and so maybe if you are more the sexual withdrawer, it's less about being given lingerie and maybe finding the courage to wear the lingerie.
Well, yeah, yeah. So we got about 45 seconds left. What else can you add? And I'm sorry we have a shorter segment today.
That's okay.
CBS News. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, my love language, definitely physical touch. So foot rubs, massages, you know, all that kind of stuff, extra hugs during the holiday, just holding hands when you're walking, that can be a lovely gift of touch and love and reassurance. And so I would say, you know, we are aching for touch these days, right? None of us have enough hugs. We can't hug our friends. We can't see our relatives. You know, this is the year of COVID, and so definitely pour on that. I think that's a lovely gift.
Yeah, the little things. I know it's cliche, but more than ever, those little things have outsized importance. Dr. Lori Watson, thank you for what you do, and I promise we'll have more time next week, all right?
Okay. Thanks so much. Happy holidays,
thank you, Lori.
Everybody.
Happy holidays. When we come back, the one and only Mike Max. Stick around.
Dreaming of a white Christmas. Just like the ones I used to
know. Elvis never knew a white Christmas. He was living in Memphis.
It can snow in Memphis, Maxie, but it's rare. We're playing Christmas tunes that have been banned at times over the years.
Really?
And because it was Elvis, for a time, one Los Angeles radio station, now granted, this was back in the 60s, said, having Elvis talk about Christmas is like having a stripper give Christmas gifts to my kids, which I think is a little extreme. But even
thought Elvis was that wild, huh?
Well, yeah, because of, you know, the sexuality, you know, the gyrating hips. I don't know what it was, but apparently at one point this was a scandalous tune, having Elvis.
Not because of the words, because of Elvis.
Yes, exactly.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what do we know about the stripper?
On the radio. I can see DJ turning all shades of purple. Why did you have to go there, Paul?
It says we're supposed to talk about Dan Bailey now. Let's move on to that.
Well,
Dan Bailey.
It's a tough day to be Dan Bailey, who I hear via the grapevine is just a really decent guy, a good guy.
Yeah, yes, he's. You know, I haven't seen these guys for so long, and just. He was one of those guys. But the way that they're set up in practice and locker rooms, many times the kicker and the punter come walking out because they're done with all their stuff before everybody else is. So you have a chance to talk to them a little bit more than other players because they're separate from the rest of the team. And so I had many conversations with Dan. He's a very kind of low-key, doesn't get too caught up in too much of anything. And I know he's hurting very badly today. And I know it is just excruciating right now for Mike Zimmer. He just had his press conference. They have not decided what they're going to do. They're in a little bit of a quandary. They have one kicker in the practice squad that they could activate immediately. Otherwise, someone would have to quarantine for 6 days, which would mean they'd have to get him in now. to kick on Sunday. And so that puts, obviously, the organization in a bad spot because they don't know if they have confidence in Dan right now, and they won't know until he kicks another field goal or an extra point successfully. But you could just see Mike Zimmer, and you know, one of the analogies he gave was, is your editor going to fire you after you write one bad article? Talking to the masses of media, saying, you know, you have to consider that too. What's the body of work beyond this past Sunday
right.
when you do this? And he obviously really likes Dan Bailey, and he doesn't want to have to make a move, but, you know, he might have to make a move. Maybe some of it will be predicated on who's available out there too, if they think there's somebody that you can look at and say, okay, he's a sure thing. He can at least make them from 30 yards and in. But Bailey had been pretty good until last week, and it's just remarkable. I mean, we've seen three kickers. Blair Walsh, obviously, once he went wide left against Seattle, was never the same. Gary Anderson, if you go back to 98, misses wide left.
Yep.
He's a fishing guide in Alaska now. Dan does not have anything to do with the other. Gary was a wonderful, wonderful guy who I think is just pursuing his life passion. Dan Carlson, a few years ago, was in Green Bay when he missed the three kicks. He was a drafted kicker, and if you spend a draft pick on a kicker, that means you expect them to be around for a while. And I can remember talking to him after that game, and he was man up, man. He talked about the problems, etc. The Vikings actually ended up tying in that game. People remember that as a loss, but they ended up tying. They cut him the next day. He went on, and he's still kicking with the Raiders, and that's when they signed Dan Bailey. So it is a vicious, vicious cycle and position. But if your coach doesn't believe that you can make kicks, and you start game planning around having to use your kicker, i.e. yesterday when they had a two-point conversion, and if they had been close on fourth down, Zimmer even admitted they would have gone for it because he didn't want to take a chance kicking a field goal. That's a really bad sign. Basically, from 50 yards and in, you should be settling for a field goal and going for a first down, but you shouldn't have to think about it in the NFL, especially at U.S. Yeah. Bank Stadium. And right now, they have to give it a lot of thought, and that's what's disturbing.
Maxie, just take a minute and talk about confidence. I mean, especially as a
gosh.
Kicker, you're either a hero or a goat, with all deference to goats. Talk about confidence, right? It's 90% mental and 10% physical. We know he can physically kick a field goal, but can you talk about the mind games?
As Yogi Berra used to say, it's 50% physical and 90% mental. You know, the power of the brain is so, in all phases of our life, is so excruciating. And if you get into, and I'm not trying to take this or make an analogy, but when you study the genesis of PTSD, which is in essence reliving in your brain terrible memories from your past, this is, you know, there are so many lighter versions of that that you and you can't get it out of your way, and it's why people go to counseling for eating disorders and for, you know, logically none of it makes sense. Logically, it doesn't make any sense that Dan Bailey should fear going in and kicking these field goals, these extra points that he attempted yesterday. Logically, it makes no sense. He's repeated that activity time after time after time successfully. His brain gets in the way. And you reprogram it, and I think that the when you look at the comparisons to computers, they are so true, because you got to take the hard drive, the brain, and you got to rewire it, and that ain't easy. You know, you've got to rewire it so that your default is always confidence. Your default is always confidence, not your default is fear. And I'm oversimplifying something, but it is the same as a computer in that respect. Golfers go through the same thing.
Sure. Well, that's, no, I appreciate hearing that, and I think that applies not just in the sports world.
No,
but
everything.
The business world, certainly. Maxie, when we come back, I want to talk Gophers. I want to talk about that Cleveland baseball team, and I know this morning you filled in for Corey. You talked to the organizer for Reopen Minnesota. I want to get your reaction to that next.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me.
What would you like us to have waiting for you?
This tune was banned? Yeah, I'll Be Home for Christmas by Bing Crosby. It was banned by the BBC. They were afraid that playing that tune would hurt the morale of people living in the UK during World War II.
Wow.
So they banned it because they thought it would have an effect. By the way, Attorney General Bill Barr will be home for Christmas. He just resigned, or was asked to resign. So more on that, CBS at the top of the hour, and our newsroom here at CCO. It was a good weekend.
Paul, can I say, one time I spoke to a group of veterans, and one guy, I'll never forget it, started talking about when he was on guard in Vietnam during Christmas, and remembering being out on duty and during the night, you know, the graveyard shift, and playing Silent Night. And he said, and as he started to tell the story, he just teared up because it was, you know, he was way far away, and he was guarding the troops, and Silent Night is what he would play to get through the night. And I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful stuff, you know?
Yeah. And our heart goes out to all the servicemen and women that are away from home all over the country.
And the frontline workers are going to be working on that day, too.
They're on the front line. Yep. I mean, the battle. When's the last time? I mean, I know it happened during Pearl Harbor. The Aleutians were attacked by the Japanese in World War II. But never have we had a battle coming to our shores, to the United States. 300,000 Americans have died prematurely. I mean, we haven't witnessed anything like this in 102 years. So it's just, I shake my head. What a year. And we're going to come out of this, Maxie, but we're going to be changed forever, I think, as a nation, as a society. And thank God for sports to give us something else to talk about and to think about. Gophers beat Nebraska on Saturday, playing Wisconsin this upcoming Saturday. And I wanted to ask you, and DJ actually brought up a good point, which I wrote it down. It was so amazing. He had a very good point. He goes, if Cleveland is changing their name and taking the Indians out of the name, which is offensive, why wouldn't they do it now? Why are they waiting a year? They're still going to be using that name this year, right?
I don't know. Is there some farewell tour? I don't know.
It just takes time to go through the...
So to speak, I mean, I would think we can adapt. I thought you were going to say, are the... you know, what's going to be next? And I don't know what would be next. I think, you know, are the Kansas City Chiefs the next ones up? I don't know. You know, these teams will you know, they won't be short on marketing plans either to try to cash in on this, right? You know, what should we be called next? Say, let's take our fan vote. Let's take our, you know, all those things, you know?
Right. Cleveland, I don't know. Lake Effect? Just like Washington, I still think should be the Swamp Drainers.
Swamp. People would love that.
Yeah. I mean, call it what it is. Hey, I know you had a chance to talk to the organizer for Reopen Minnesota, Darius, is it Tycro?
Anyway, yep.
He was on your show this morning. You were filling in for Corey, who was filling in for Dave Lee. Tis the season to be filling in. But what was your reaction? And I understand, as a business owner, I get it. You want to stay in business. You want to support your employees. You want to be able to pay the rent and pay the bills. All of us do. But any reaction to that interview? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that's interesting to me, and we're not going to solve these problems overnight, and over the next 10 years we'll figure out how we scored well and didn't score well, I think, of this, because we're so naive to a lot of the things, including the medical community and the scientists. I don't think a lot of people know exactly how to thwart this thing, but one of the things that's bothersome to the business community is that when they do the tracing prospects and they try to figure out where something originated from, they would ask if you've been to a restaurant, and you may say yes, sir, but they wouldn't ask you, did you shop in Target or at the Mall of America or at the, you know, at the Eden Prairie Center or whatever. So therefore, they thought it was a slanted survey, so to speak, because you could only lose if they'd been to the restaurant, but you had no other source of recourse. You couldn't say, well, you know, I brought my car in, and so I was sitting at the inside the gas station there for an hour one day. That was never on the survey. And so that's one of the things that upsets them. And then the other part is, and you don't know, and this is, you know, this is obviously every business is different, but, you know, where some of them are saying, hey, it's real simple. Simple math here. If we don't open, we're done. And that is, That's a tough one. You know, we can't go another month. Our employees can't go another 6 weeks. It's just the way it is. And so that's a tough one. So there are businesses that plan to reopen regardless of what the governor says on Wednesday if he continues the shutdown. And they're just going to take their chances. And obviously, part of his is the hospitality, but then you get into the whole another argument is the gyms, and why are they closed? Somebody told me Minnesota and Washington's the only two states in the country where all the gyms are closed. So, you know, there's lots of debates out there, and hopefully yeah. he'll clarify some of it on Wednesday.
Man, it's an impossible task trying to thread that needle, right? Of course we want to save businesses. We want to save livelihoods. We also want to save lives. So you know, how do you err on the side of safety when it comes to the value of a human life? We won't be answering those questions during this show, Maxie, but I appreciate your range.
I know. It's just that I get both sides. I feel for Governor yep. Walz, and I feel for the restaurant owners, and yeah. I think I speak for a lot of people there.
Maxie, we will be tuned in on Channel 4. Thank you for what you do, and let's try this tomorrow.
You got it. Thanks, Paul.
You bet. More banned Christmas tunes next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!